It's Friday, November 16th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Well, folks, this is the last show for here from historic Ford Island, so I thought I would take you back a little bit, and, we'll revisit this intro. Yes, strap in.
Ladies and gentlemen, please stand by. The geek from Geek News Central is about to come on the air. He's putting on the headset. He is pulling up the microphone. He has opened a can of Red Bull. He has strapped himself into the chair. His assistant is slapping him in the face. Get ready. And now, your host, Todd the Geek from Geek News Central.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the last show from historic Ford Island in Honolulu, Hawaii. The next show will be at the new location in Apamakakilo, overlooking Honolulu. How's everybody? How many of you have never heard that intro before? That takes you a little bit, that goes way back to like show number 45 or something like that. And I thought I would share that with you today. And you know, first of all, I guess what I want to do is I want to thank all of you that are checking out the show for the first time, because you kind of checked in on a fun show. You really did. And we got lots of tech news to talk about, but I'm going to reminisce here for a few minutes before we get into that. But it was just kind of on a whim tonight. I said, where is that intro? And I dug around and I found it, and got it queued up for tonight. But you know, you never know what's going to happen around here, because you know, I've got all the stuff, got all the boxes in the office. We're preparing to move. The packers come Monday. Matter of fact, the guy that is part of the packing company, he was here, and he's like, oh my goodness, oh. You guys got a lot of stuff. And I'm like, well, yeah, I've been traveling all over the world for the last 25 years. You kind of collect a bunch of stuff. And so we'd set up a three-day move. And generally they say, oh, it never takes 2 days. It'll be a day of packing and then a day to move you. And he goes, well, I will have 8 guys here on Monday to pack and a team here on Tuesday to pack. And we will load you and move you. Take you over to the new place on Wednesday, which I kind of thought was going to be the case. But, you know, meanwhile, I'm up here in the office kind of getting some stuff arranged. And my son's in the office. And I really wasn't paying too much attention to him. My three-year-old was. And lo and behold, I come over to the studio setup. Why didn't he wait until tomorrow to do this? He flat out turned every knob on my console. You know, I mean, all of them were at base zero. Now, I got out my little picture, and I tweaked it back to where it was, and it always sounds different. I don't know what it is, because, you know, I have a tendency to tweak here and there, but it is what it is. But the next time you'll be hearing me, I will be in our new location. Of course, we've starting to got some entries for the contest we've got going on. So make sure that you get the contest entries in, so that you can help me and working on my new kind of intro that I'm going to use during the show. I've had some interesting submissions already, but you'll definitely want to send those in. We're going to be giving away a Zune 8 Flash Media Player. I guess that's what they're actually calling them. Haven't actually picked one up. We're going to have to figure out what color to get. I don't know what the color scheme is. But matter of fact, why don't you, when you send your contest entry in, tell me what color you want, so that I can, when we award this thing, let's see, what date is, when are we actually going to give it away? We're going to give it away on the show of the 27th. And our guest host is going to be in next week. Now, In all honesty, I've got a list of to-do items here, and at the top of my to-do list is a bullet item that says guest host. So yes, I haven't sent the guest host invitations out yet, but I need to do that tomorrow. So that's in my on my to-do list. You know, it's like this office I thought I was going to get through a bunch of paperwork this week, and it's just gotten worse, and I haven't quite figured out why, but anyway, what have I got cooking here for you? had kind of a some sad news this morning. I was I called my my realtor up, and I talked to her on the phone for a little bit. Had a couple of questions for her. She sounded really, really down, and I asked her what's going on, and lo and behold, her husband had passed away yesterday, and I was just we're good friends with her, and although I've never met her husband, I know that she's had some trying times here recently, and it really didn't look good from a couple of weeks ago. And bro, why are you even answering the phone? I said to her, I said surround yourself by your family. And her and I talked for 10 or 15 minutes, and it's really tough out there when a spouse loses another spouse. And the so anyway, we talked for a little bit, and my heart and prayers go out to her and her family, and we'll be sending something over to them. But golly, and here we are, we're getting ready to close, and I said, listen, don't worry about anything. This thing we'll manage this. And she's like, oh no, I want out working is helping me. And people are really strong. They really, really are. Even in times of despair, people are pretty tough, And but anyway, my heart goes out to her. And when the time is appropriate, I'm going to definitely turn her on to my mom's show over there at SherryCast.com and tell her to start at episode 1. And hopefully we can have a little more, intervention in her life as well, too. So anyway, wow, what a thing just to happen. But didn't set the tone for a real good day, but I want to thank all of you, of course, for putting up with the last show. My goodness, was that like a monster or what? But Rob Greenlee's and I discussion was a good one, and we had lots of content to catch up on from the missing the show out in Vegas. And I want to thank you all for being patient tonight. I promise I'll get you out of here much quicker. And golly, long one. Hey, Andy McCaskey and I were talking today, and we're kind of making some plans for the Consumer Electronics Show. We're still working on getting our sponsor put together, and hopefully we'll be able to secure a sponsor here soon. That is a large event, and we need to be there. So we're going to keep our fingers crossed on that. And I guess that's basically it, what's going on, besides the move. We're excited. I called the electricity company, got the electricity turned in my name, the water, what else? All the other stuff, the garbage collection, and just all that general junk I haven't had to deal with in a long, long time. But anyway, I want to thank all of the HANA out there, all of you that are long-term subscribers of the show, and of course, if you're checking out the show for the first time, I want to thank you for doing so, and make sure that you check out all the great content at geeknewscentral.com. Make sure you subscribe to us in iTunes or whatever podcast you're using. If you're using the Zune Marketplace, subscribe to the show. And, of course, get our newsletter as well. We'll have you get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. You'll find that. Sign up within the third column of the website at geeknewscentral.com. And all of this really would not be possible with all our sponsors here. And really, I do want to take a moment and thank all the sponsors of the Geek News Central podcast. I want to thank GoDaddy and GoToMeeting for being here and supporting us. And of course, I want to thank all of you for supporting the sponsors as well. And of course, if you want to make an impact online, you know where to go. GoDaddy.com has domain names, hosting accounts, shared hosts, virtual dedicated servers, secure socket. SSL certificates, you name it, they've got it. And when you get to that checkout counter, use the promo code TODD. That'll get you 10% off on orders. And then if you want to save 15% on orders, you can use the promo code GEEK5. And that'll get you some money off on orders of $20 or more. Of course, check the show notes on the website. Someone sent me an email yesterday and said, hey, Adam Curry was saying he's got the best deals online right now with GoDaddy. And I said, no, he doesn't. we have this special promotion code right now. It's a 20% off on 1 year shared hosting plans. You can use the code TODD20. It only works on 1 year shared hosting plans. TODD20. Now, here's a little trick. you sign up for 2 years, they give you a bigger discount. Then you combine that with the Todd 20, it's just like you almost get a year free. So check that out over at GoDaddy.com. And of course, GoToMeeting as well. Thanks for them for being here and being a continued sponsor. And if you haven't tried the web conferencing solution that they have, please try it. Because these days, whether you're in business or simply want to share something with friends or family, email and voicemail really just isn't enough. That's why you should try GoToMeeting, a web conferencing solution that will revolutionize how you communicate with your business associates, family, and friends. The ability to host online meetings is an absolute must for today's business. Try it yourself for free for 30 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. And those of you out there working in businesses and stuff, and you have a, you know, maybe have a boss that's complaining about his budget, hey, recommend GoToMeeting, because maybe they're earning a promotion there where he'll be able to do stuff online without having to travel, and you save the company some money in the meantime. So it is that great of a versatile tool. It really, really is. Okay, yes, I promised to get into the content earlier tonight, and we are at that point already. And I got a lot of little nuggets to share with you tonight, plus some cool stuff that I found that I'll have tapped to the end of the show notes. But the first thing up, of course, is if you have upgraded to Mac OS X Leopard or 10.5, Apple has released a 38 meg update. It's OS X 10.5.1 is now available. I think there's like 40 security plugs alone. Plus, it does all kinds of fixes with email issues, networking, printing, firewall, the System and Finder, Time Machine, iCal, Disk Utilities, Airport. So they knocked a whole bunch of stuff out in a hurry. I'm sure what they had is they had most of the stuff probably in work when they went to press to get the the disk made. But so this is out and it's available, and everyone's saying it's really helping their, at least some of the issues that they're having with Leopard. So get the update now, and it's available online. Couple of cool articles talking about DRM, and this is what's really interesting. Fox Digital Copy, and they're the ones that are behind videos like Bruce Willis's Live Free or Die Hard movie that's getting ready to be released. They're actually going to make it possible that you can make two copies of the DVD for the price of one. They're going to allow you to make a digital copy that's going to go on your computer, and they're also going to allow you to put it on any Microsoft Play for Sure device. This would exclude iPods, Sony PSPs, and believe it or not, even Zunes. But you're going to be able to, if the device you have supports Microsoft's Play for Sure, you're even going to be able to burn that to that portable device. So even though the DRM is still embedded, they're going to make you, allow you to make two copies of it. So this is a little bit of a change here. And while I'm sure many of you are pretty big into, ripping DVDs, this is one they're going to, they're going to help you with that process as well. So nice to see that move by Fox Digital Copy on that. Found a very fascinating story over on telegraph.co.uk, and I'll be honest with you, I was really, hurt my brain with some of the stuff they were talking about here. If you are big into physics, you'll definitely want to read this particular article. It talks about a gentleman who's a 38-year-old surfer who hangs out here in Oahu in the part of the year, and also snowboards and stuff up in Lake Tahoe. He's essentially broke, but he's a professor, and now, excuse me, he's got a doctorate. So I don't want to lower his education standard. He's got a doctorate, and he has written this physics theory that stunned a lot of scientists out there. And it's basically, he's drawn up a new theory of the universe and seen by some as the holy grail of physics. So it's getting some rave reviews by some scientists, and of course some scientists have got a raised eyebrow as well. But if you're a physics nut, you'll definitely want to check this article out. Some of the stuff I was like, wow, I don't understand this. So I am glad there are smart people out there that that really dig into this stuff. But I think I'm definitely was not put on this planet to talk about the E8 pattern and interconnections. And no, that's not me. But if that's you, you definitely want to check that out. All right, the Space Review has a good article on why all of a sudden the moon has all of a sudden become back in vogue. And right now, there is more countries that are getting on the bandwagon that want to go back to the moon. The latest being Germany, saying they want to send a probe to the moon. So we've got China, Japan, India. Of course, the United States is going to go, wants to go back. The Russians. You know, it's just, it's amazing how many people want to go back to the moon. And of course, there's all kinds of theories going on. And whether it be for helium-3 or just getting a probe there for national unity, it's hard to say. But all of a sudden, the moon is back in vogue. Very good article about it and talks about some of the things that may be accomplished and some of the essential goals of different countries and what they want to do by going back to the moon. So there's not necessarily a race to go back, but there's definitely a renewed interest. But we'll have to see. I'm sure there's some ulterior motives out there, and I'm sure the conspiracy theorists will have a lot of fun with it as well. I got to share this with you. You know, how many of you guys out there have ever been frustrated working on a part, working on your car, and you had that one screw that just wouldn't come undone or a lug nut that was too tight? You know, whatever you did, you use a cheater bar, whatever it was to try to break that nut loose, you really couldn't get it. Well, don't do like this guy did in Southworth, Washington. A man trying to loosen a stubborn lug nut blasted the wheel with a 12-gauge shotgun. This goes in the Darwin Dumber and Dumber type of categories. And he did it from an arm's length away, and he shot it with buckshot. So you guessed it, ricocheted. The guy's in the hospital with serious injuries because he got a blast right back in his legs and his upper chest. And oh, what fools will do. That is not the way to take off a bolt that's stubborn. If you really want to go after it, get a cutting torch. But not a shotgun. Oh, my goodness. But I think you'll get a laugh out of that. All right, this gentleman in L.A., is facing up to 60 years in prison and fines up to $1.75 million after admitting that he infected at least 250,000 PCs with information-stealing malware. I guess this 26-year-old guy was a security worker by day, or a security consultant by day, and he practiced the real art of security intrusion at night by infecting PCs. And, you know, he's facing 60-year prison, and all he got out of it was $19,000. You would have thought if he would have hacked 250,000 computers, he'd have been a little more successful getting more money, being that he's, you know, he's facing 60 years in jail just for $19,000. You know, that I guess he can be qualified as the number two dumber guy of the day. But, you know, you don't if you don't want to do the time, don't do the crime. That's definitely for sure. So that was available from a story from ZDNet Asia. Those of you that speak multiple languages, you may be interested in a feature in Gmail. It's a language detection tool. Now, it can be used two different ways. It can be used to help tag stuff so that you can find emails with specific language types. Or if you don't want to see any non-English email, per se, you could flag it so it just automatically throws it to junk or drops it to in a place where you don't have to view it. So, you know, this is one thing that will come in handy for many of you. I'm sure many of you are able to speak multiple languages, and that it just may come out as a good service available for you, available via Gmail. So I have that link up in the show notes. You know, I've been fascinated for a while now about these digital photo frames. And, you know, they've always been, you know, kind of cool. You know, they're little desk types. But I found one by PhotoView, which it's a 17-inch RSS-enabled digital photo frame. So this is huge, folks. Think about it. 17-inch, you know, I'm working on a 17-inch laptop right now. And it's almost something you could hang on the wall. And the way they've got it framed, it looks real nice. It's Wi-Fi enabled. And, you know, some of these I've seen before actually allowed you to like give one of these as a gift to a family member, like a grandparent or someone that at least has a computer and a Wi-Fi in their home. And then essentially you pre-program the frame on where to go get new pictures so that you can update pictures from home, and then family members in different states, countries, whatever, can actually see your new pictures that you pre-programmed. Now, I don't know if this one does this exactly. I'll have to check into the features on it, but I'm almost positive it does if it's using an RSS reader to do remote administration of it, which is really cool. So check this out. You know, this is a great, really, this is a great idea. Now, if you've got people that are, you know, more technically inclined, then you, if you just buy a Windows Home Server, they'll be able to get access to your pictures as well. But I can't think of a cooler gift to hang on my mom's wall and have her come home and have new pictures of the grandkids up and available for her that I have updated via the remote administration tool. A little pricey. It's $6.99 now, and it's available from PhotoVoo, PhotoVu, and very, very cool. It really is, and exciting products like this really help us stay connected with family and friends. And it's one of those gifts that maybe, you know, you want to, you know, work together with siblings or something and come up with a solution, you know, buy it together and give it to them and then, you know, have one person manage it. So pretty awesome gift that would be good for a family member. There are some reports out that the Zune, some of the Zunes are having some issues. Some people are having problem loading the Zune Marketplace software on, especially on running Apple with Parallels, and they're not able to get the marketplace working in that. And there's also been some minor DRM issues as well. So, you know, as do we expect, this is an initial launch of the new software, so I'm sure they'll have some bugs to work out. But overall, the response has been very positive, and I'm sure we're going to actually talk about some of that during the show tonight, because we've got some emails from some folks that have actually done, you know, looked at the product and sent me some feedback. So if you've had any problems with Zune, I know the guy. I know the man. I can help you out, at least put you in the right direction for a resource. He probably is getting inundated with stuff. But anyway, anyone playing with a new Zune yet? Have you went out and bought one? Now, I am a gadget freak. I go on the road with way too many gadgets. I carry stuff that I never use. But, you know, one thing you always run out of is power. You know, it's just like... The other day, my laptop, even though I had my Mac with me at Blog World, near the end of the day, I was just out of juice. I hadn't been able to get into enough recharge stations to essentially get the keep the PowerBook powered up, and I didn't think to buy another battery for it. I've never needed an additional battery, but Duracell now has a product out called the Duracell Power Source Mobile. And this is a pretty impressive device, and I am definitely going to look at one of these. It can extend the runtime of just about any portable device. It can provide up to 2 hours of additional juice for your laptop. Now, I guess that depends on what kind of a laptop you have. I don't think mine would survive. I don't know how many amps this will actually will support, but it's a little bit pricey, $140. And, you know, as the article writer says, convenience never comes cheap. But, boy, when you need the juice, that $140 seems like a small price to pay. But for the guy that has everything, ladies out there, the Duracell Power Source Mobile 100 looks like to be a pretty good stocking stuffer or a main gift, whatever it may be, wherever your price range may fall. But also could work out good in an emergency, too. If there's something going on, you've kept this thing charged, and you go into a situation where, you know, maybe the weather has caused you to have a power outage, and your cell phone is, getting to the point where it needs a little bit of a boost, this might be the way to go here. So, link will be up in the show notes. You guys getting the idea of the theme here? I'm keeping my eyes open for stuff I think will be cool for you all to have as a good Christmas presents, and some of the stuff is super geeky. In December, the Tech Podcast Network always has kind of our Christmas show. It's always the best attended and best downloaded show of the year, where we talk about the best gadgets for Christmas. So we'll probably be having that within probably the first week to 10 days of December. So if you want to hold out for that, if you're looking for gadgets, you may want to do so. But we will definitely be putting on a gadget show here in the next 2 or 3 weeks over at Tech Podcast during our next roundtable. Now, this next article, if this comes out to be true, sign me up. Microsoft is getting pretty serious in their research department. I guess they call it the Microsoft Media Presence Research Group. That sounds like a pretty fancy name. But what their idea is to come up with a system that essentially records your life. And it's not something that's implanted in your brain or anything like that. But we've seen some of these types of features before. But My Life Bits is a sense cam that's developed by Microsoft that takes pictures when it senses that the user may want a photo. It does sound record. It has a sound recording equipment, and it also has some different things. It's basically it's used to capture your life digitally. And what I found was fascinating with this was, and this is not for everybody, but according to the researchers, they're saying a terabyte hard drive could easily hold all of the text documents, voice files, and photos over the course of a person's life. You know, they really, I think, have underestimated the amount of storage they're going to need, especially in this age. But this is kind of a cool little, project here. Now, it would be a little bit invasive to people if you're wearing this thing the whole time and it was snapping pictures and doing stuff. I don't think people would be very appreciative of you. You'd have to shut it off in specific times when, you know, to honor people's privacy. But they're thinking that this project can be very cost effective over time. So we'll see how this goes. They're basically wanting to back up your brain. You know, that's what they really need is jack me in so I can download. create my virtual self. All right, as we've been researching things for our new home, we've been looking at ways that we can be more eco-friendly. And one of the things we found was the USB EquiStrip. It's a very cool power strip in that what it does is you use it just like you would any other power strip, except you have a feedback function to it that when you turn your computer off, it also removes the power for your printer, your speakers, your monitor, your light, your scanner. How many of you, you know, you turn your computers off but forget to turn all the other peripheral switches off? Well, this is one way to save some juice. And they're saying that, you know, if you have this hooked up to your devices and you turn your computer off every night, you'll save yourself approximately $70 a year with this usage of this particular item. $34.95, it's going to start shipping in January of 2008. This is perfect for my kids. Absolutely perfect for them on their computers and stuff. Definitely going to have this going on for sure because I don't have to yell. It just automatically does it for $34.95. Available from beamingsun.com. I'll have the link up in the show notes on this. All right, the folks over at Apple are not going to be real happy with the MyShare device. This is a device that's currently in development in China and soon to come to market. The MyShare enables iPod file swapping. And I'm sure, of course, that this just brings vision of terror to the Apple executives' heads. But, you know, what have we got here? I've got an iPhone. We got a iPod Touch. My wife has assumed the control of my regular iPod, my video iPod. My kids have my old, like, first-gen iPod that only holds a charge for, like, an hour and a half. But, you know, those are all full of the media. And I've always bought the big hard drives in them, and, you know, as much storage as possible. So, you know, it's been a kind of a pain to, you know, do the syncing. What a great way to be able to have all the libraries of all your media across all different media devices, or actually iPods that you have. Could be a cool thing here. Now, not a lot of details on how this is going to work, but they have, let's see here, and I'm sure people are going to be using this to share music when they're not supposed to, but the device is going to be, I guess, about $100. It runs on Linux, and it's got some open source software tools to access the iPod as a mass storage device, so it'll be able to transfer stuff back and forth, different functions, so kind of cool, very cool. Well, you know, I've been really watching what's been going on in the digital camera space, especially in the high-def camera space. And Sony's got a new one out that, boy, it's probably equivalent in quality to one of the real popular Panasonic 3 CMOS cameras that are out. But this one's a much, much more expensive. It's a new Sony Pro HDV camcorder, but it's offering a hybrid tape and solid-state recording on it. This is kind of cool because you can order it in different configurations, but you'll be able to record to a memory chip, or actually I don't know what type of memory it actually uses, but I think that external memory is pretty expensive, a digital memory. And then it allows you to put like a hard drive on it as well. This is a very high-end pro camera on the Sony side. I guess I would call prosumer, very high-end on the prosumer side. I guess the actual base price of this unit, let me look at this, is going to be about $68.50. There's a couple different models here, so I'm not exactly sure which model it is, but you can get options all the way up to $10,000. So definitely not a cheap purchase. I still have my eye on the Panasonic 3 CMOS camera that the folks over at the DV show recommended to me. I saw in use out at PodCamp Boston. That's a great podcast. If you haven't watched that, the DV show, just Google it or go over to Tech Podcast. It's available there online. Hey, tonight I'd like to do a little bit of a random poll. And this is for those of you out there that have teenagers that have cell phones. And I guess it's, I think based upon what I saw my 17-year-old doing this summer, I'm pretty well convinced that many teenagers are not using email. So are your kids that are of a cell phone age, are they just texting? Are they using email at all? Slate is reporting that the death of email is upon us because teenagers are banning their Yahoo and Hotmail accounts. And to be perfectly honest, I don't think I'm ever going to be giving up my email. I know Twitter has changed things a little bit. And I don't feel that Facebook has. I don't go on Facebook to get messages, even though someone from the show sent me an ICQ today, said, "Hey, Todd, did you get my message on," it was a particular topic, and I said, "No, when did you send it?" And he said, and I was, kind of looking through my email, and he sent it via Facebook, which I was kind of surprised because I don't normally, I go into Facebook once in a while and look, but I don't consider that a primary communication method, but a lot of people are. So they're saying that those of us older than 25 can't imagine life without email, but those that are 25 and under are essentially saying, hey, we don't need it. We're doing ICQ, we're doing text messaging back and forth. That's how, that's how we live, and that's how we digitally communicate. I just don't see it. How do you, when I'm doing a text message is not very long. It definitely doesn't encompass everything that needs to be said in a normal email, that's for sure. Okay, so anyway, send me your, let me know. Let me know what your kids are doing. Is email dead? Are they, do they stick to a lot of email? Or do you think it's, it's just based upon age and they get out of college and have to go to work, and go into a workplace? Are they going to be, more, they're going to change as time goes on? They're going to have to use email more versus doing a lot of texting? Okay, I yawned on you there. I apologize. Hey, the International Space Station crew has moved they've done a couple things here. Out at the ISS, they got a lot of movements to happen before before Atlantis comes up on December 6th. But the ISS crew has moved the docking adapter. That happened a couple of days ago. So they moved a shuttle docking adapter, and this is the next step in a complicated process to prepare the station for the installation of the new lab modules. So the crew used the station's robotic arm to move a docking adapter from the end of the Destiny lab to the new Harmony Node module. Yes, that took a couple of hours. And then today, they moved the Harmony docking node to its permanent location on the station on Wednesday. So I'm kind of confused. They moved it. They had to move it from one place to another. Then they moved Harmony. It's just, I'm going to have to look at on the NASA's website to see what they've done there. But this is where the shuttle is going to dock the next time it comes up. So a bunch of more stuff going on. They got to do a couple spacewalks. And they've got a little bit of a concern because there was an issue with a spacesuit during a test recently. And this happened out at Johnson Space Center. A Russian cosmonaut reported smelling smoke in his suit as well as a sensation of heat on his back when he was actually in, I guess, an isobaric chamber. So the so they're put a halt right now on any spacewalks until they figure out what's going on with that. They haven't been able to duplicate any of the issues with the suit, so we'll keep you advised there. Now, that supposed asteroid, remember, they kind of thought there was an asteroid coming at us, was going to do a near miss. Well, that spacecraft Rosetta flew by Earth Tuesday after the show was released. And here's the thing, it's amazing, folks, is this this spacecraft is only just beginning its journey because it's not actually going to meet its or be at its final objective until 2014 when it meets up with a comet. So very, very cool on that front, and I guess everything's working good on the spacecraft, so that's good news. All right, what else I got here for you? I found an article on the BBC, and I actually heard something. I had the news on kind of in the background today. I don't know what channel it was on. It was one of the major news channels, but I don't have a TV here in the office, but the TV was on downstairs, and it was up loud. My wife was out of the house at the time, and they were talking about China spying on the United States, and they were talking about how China has been pursuing new technology aggressively. And there's concern that a lot of the software that's coming into the country may contain backdoors or even spyware within it in mainstream software that's being used by the Chinese to, collect, get technological advancements from companies and all kinds of different, basically things. Bad things are happening, particularly with different technologies being delivered. So, big article on this on the BBC, lots of discussion about it in the news. So it's kind of scary, yeah, if another country is, bought in a, think about that. They bought a software company, they got a hold of the source code, they put something in the source code and then repackaged it up and are selling it as a commercial product, and then companies buy it and put it on their systems, and whether it be government or industry or whoever it may be, then that software is used as a backdoor into different industries. Very, very scary. It really, really is. So I'm sure IT managers out there, you're going to have to keep your game up for sure. And now you can't even trust, mainstream software applications. I guess you have to figure out where the source code came from. But really, what do y'all think about that? It's kind of scary, huh? Okay, Microsoft has shipped Vista Service Pack 1 release candidate to testers. I guess they about 15,000 invitation-only testers received Service Pack 1. Hey, anyone in the audience, have gotten this Service Pack? How's it looking? When I get moved here and get settled down, I might actually be in the mood to actually upgrade a machine, seeing that the Service Pack 1 is coming out early next year. So what's the story on that? Does anyone have any more info? If you do, love to hear about it. That's for sure. So drop us a line, geeknews@gmail.com. All right, folks. Next up, we're going to revisit a story that we talked about on either the last show or a couple shows ago, talking about the Holmes comet. If you remember, the comet has all of a sudden gotten much, much brighter, and it's gotten the attention of astronomers worldwide. But what they have done out here in Hawaii is astronomers out here have measured the coma, I guess it's coma or comma, C-O-M-A, I'm assuming coma, of the comet, and it's saying that the coma's diameter is now larger than the circumference of the sun, which is just amazing. So they continue to watch this thing. I guess there's supposed to be a big event tonight. As this comet kind of passes in front of a star, they're going to see how it looks. And this is an event that everybody's saying it is not to be missed. Obviously, we've missed it, but I'm sure there's going to be a lot of pictures on this. But the scientists are pretty baffled on what's going on here. So hopefully they'll come up with an explanation of what's going on, but it's definitely gotten the attention, and they got Hubble pointed at it and the whole nine yards. But so far off, it's even kind of hazy for the Hubble to get a good shot. All right, folks, last article of the night. Yes, look at the time. We have made good time tonight. But this is an article we'll spend a few minutes on. PC World and other venues are reporting that Warner Music CEO has essentially said that when they went to war with consumers, it was a big, big mistake. It was what he calls a colossal screw-up. And he was talking to a group of mobile handset folks, I guess maybe in Malaysia. I don't know exactly where he was at. I heard about this quite a bit today. But, you know, here we are. We've got the second person from the music industry that has essentially said, you know, what we've done here really wasn't so smart. And I like a quote that he has made. And this comes from, again, Warner Music CEO Edgar Bronfman. He said, "We used to fool ourselves. We used to think our content was perfect just exactly as it was. We expected our business would remain blissfully unaffected even as the world of interactivity, constant connection, and file sharing was exploding. And, of course, we were wrong. How were we wrong? By standing still or moving at a glacial pace, we inadvertently went to war with consumers by denying them what they wanted and could otherwise find, and as a result, consumers won." This is profound. This is a profound statement that this guy has finally woke up. And you know what it is? They are now in defeat mode. They have realized they have lost, and there's nothing they can do to win the battle. So now, this is conciliatory defeat talk, is what this is. Will it result in change? Will it result in the RIAA stopping to be the front men for these companies? You know, what's going to happen? You know, is this going to be, you know, is this the, you know, is this where the pendulum starts going back the other way and the music industry starts giving us what we want? Could it be? Could it be? Boy, that would be a heck of a Christmas present if the RIAA suspended suing people. I think it's a fat chance, to be quite honest with you. And with statements say like the Gene Simmons, the KISS frontman, you know, I'm sure you've all seen Gene on A&E, he made some comments basically that go against what this guy's saying. He basically said that they haven't sued enough people. We should have sued all the students, basically should have went after all the criminals. So, you know, Gene's a pretty shrewd business guy, I guess, in the music industry. At least it's portrayed that he is. So, very interesting comment from an artist, I guess, per se. So, anyway, I guess the article that I found kind of funny in the PC World piece was an antidote at the bottom of the article that I will save for you all to go read. And it's something about freezing over. And I'll leave it at that. But yes, we are at 43 minutes, and I have, I guess, 4 voicemails to play for you. Just your normal news find tonight, but wanted to be able to try to get through stuff a little quicker. As always, send your comments to the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. And let's get into the voicemail, and then I'll have some email comments and some parting words about our last show here on Historic Fort Allen. Here comes the first voicemail.
Hey, Todd, it's Tom calling. Hey, I just want to let you know I just tried the GoToMeeting, the GoToMeeting application.
Yeah.
You know, basically through your recommendation and through the advertising on your program, and it was really cool. I was surprised. I was able to. We had a situation where I was unable to get out to a customer's business in time. I could get out in December, but I just couldn't get out the month of November, and they said, "Hey, listen, we got to do a meeting beforehand." I was able to do a complete PowerPoint presentation, and very cool. I was very surprised at how seamless it worked, and it was so funny. Somebody had called in from Switzerland. I had somebody from Delaware, six people from Morristown, New Jersey, and it was pretty neat because the person who I talked to said, "Hey, you know, so do you use this application often?" I said, "No, this is the first time." It worked out really good. It was pretty cool. So I think we'll be using this in the future, and definitely a good product to use and very easy to work with. Definitely recommend it. Pricing isn't that bad. We just got to figure out a way of utilizing it more often. But definitely cool. So appreciate that. So thank you very much. Just want to give you a heads up. Keep up the good work. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Hey, you know something? I didn't even plan that. I swear to God that I did not listen to these voicemails before the beginning of the show. I swear. So that was just like, I'm thinking to myself, man, everybody probably thinks I just set this up, you know, earlier. I swear, I did not listen to the voicemails before earlier. But thank you so much for the endorsement. I definitely appreciate it. You know, if you really look at the cost, the monthly cost on that, and you look at the price of an airline ticket, really, one airline ticket pays, you know, almost anywhere in the country that you go, one airline ticket will pay for a whole year's worth of service. You know, really, just one trip that, you know, actually not even that. The hotel room for a couple of nights will pay for a whole year's service. It really will. And you'll find you'll use it a lot more because you'll be like, oh, I can use that, and you'll go with it. But thanks for that, Tom. Definitely appreciate it. All right, here's the next voicemail.
Hey, Todd, this is Mike from Tacoma, Washington.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, I'm new to your podcast. I'm loving it. I'm only up to episode 308, so I've got a few more to go to get caught up. But I just got a little rant to get off my chest.
Uh-oh.
And I have a compact computer, and I've bought it like a week after Vista came out, and I really don't care for Vista, and I wanted to actually put Linux on it, and I contacted Compaq and asked them if they had the drivers for the computer, for all the components, the modem and the video card and all that stuff. For Linux. And their response was, they do not recommend putting Linux on the machine. It was not designed for Linux. It cannot run Linux. And that it would void my warranty if I put Linux on the computer.
Interesting.
You know, I don't see how changing operating system would void my warranty. I could see that I wouldn't get tech support for the Linux portion of it, for the computer, but, you know, it would void my warranty, and that the computer was not able to run Linux, and I wanted to put Ubuntu on it, and they said it was not able to run it. It runs fine. I had to do a lot of digging for the drivers, but I have been able to get everything up and running with current drivers, and everything works. So, just wanted to get something on my desk. And, keep up the good work, and talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, thanks for calling in, and thanks for being part of the Ohana. And I'm glad you're loving it. Glad you're loving the show. You know, that's kind of interesting that they would say that it wouldn't run it. You know, the Linux operating system is pretty robust, and you know there's not very many machines that won't run on it. You know, and there's a big enough community out there that someone has built a driver here or there that even though it may not be for your exact machine, it may work. So I know that probably the challenges you went through, but I bet you that machine just runs smoking hot now that you've got Ubuntu on it, doesn't it? I bet it just runs fast, and it sounds to me like you're having a much more vibrant experience. You know, hearing more. You know, never before Windows Vista did we hear this type of talk and discussion. Never, never in XP did people say, oh, I took XP off and put Linux on my machine because I hate XP. There was some, but not to this fevered pitch. But I'm glad you're getting a better experience out of your purchase. And that'd be a great, great thing to blog about and talk about the experience of how you made the switch and what it's done for you since then. Hey, thanks for the call. Give us advice, and of course, stay subscribed. Thanks. All right, here's the next one up.
Hey, Pat, this is Rob from Michigan.
Hey, Rob.
Just wanted to make a couple comments from your last show. You asked, what are the things that I want to see in Windows 7? One of the things I would love to see Windows actually implement is the actual real folder size. This is a huge frustration. There's a small app for Windows XP called Folder Size, but it doesn't work in Vista. But I don't know how they just missed the boat as far as being able to actually see how much data you have in folders. This is really good if you're trying to manage smaller hard drives for laptops. But anyway, as far as Azurius, I believe that Azurius was doing something kind of hokey. I think that they were logging sites that you were going to or something like that. Nothing weird. So I stay clear of that and use uTorrent. And then also, I'm reading my, I wrote these with a Sharpie on my hand. I'm trying to read it. I'm curious about if there's a plugin for WordPress for the new Zoom podcasting. That's something that I would love to see implemented in. If I could just do a podcast via plugin and just right now I currently use PodPress, which syncs up great with iTunes. And then also, one of your callers had a printer problem, and I had an HP, and they had expensive, their cartridges tended to be like $60 for me to refill. I had a HP 5550, and did some research and found that Epson had some of the lowest price for ink cartridges. So I actually used a printer called the R200. I think I got it for $50. I probably printed, you know, like, 10,000 pages off of this thing. And I get all of my ink cartridges through a site called Super Media Store. It might be supermediastore.com, but I just Google it. And I can get two entire sets of cartridges for like $33 or $34 shipped. Usually a set of six cartridges will last me a good while. So for the last caller that you had that was having those frustrations with the ink thing, you don't have to mess with like which ink you want to print with and all that. It comes to be almost like $2 a cartridge. So just print away and you'll love it. So at that cost, it's not even worth messing with refilling and all that other stuff. So do encourage to recycle that. But anyway, love the podcast. And if I could be so bold to just say check out my podcast at coffeeman.com. That's double F, double E, and double N. Love the show, Todd. And we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, thanks for the call. And I'm going to have to go back and listen to that again. I didn't quite catch your domain name for your show. Drop me an email, and I'll definitely look at the send me a promo, too. We'll get that played in the show. Hey, you know, the one thing that I found with folder sizes in Windows is I've used for a long time, and I don't know if you are familiar with this app, and I don't even know if it's Vista, if it works in Vista. It's called Tree Size Pro. I've used it for years. It's a great application. You just go to the base, the root directory, you right-click within Explorer, and you launch the application, and it'll show you how much memory is in each folder, and I use it religiously. So that's one of the utilities that I use. Now, so far as the Zoom support on WordPress, it's really simple. And I guess the best way to describe it is just come over to Geek News Central. I'm running on mobile type. But all you have to do is really put a Zune badge on your website, and you're good to go. And the syntax is really easy. It's Zune colon /, subscribe /, and then you have to outline your show name. You put a question mark, and then like mine, it goes Geek plus News plus Central equals, and then the actual URL to the RSS feed. Now, there is going to be some other instructions coming out from Zune, and actually I got the instructions today, but I was told to hold until they got the bugs worked out. But you'll be able to have a direct link into the Zune Marketplace into your show, so you'll be able to, you know, send people straight there via hyperlink. But so far as people being able to subscribe to your show through the Zune, just come over to the website, copy what I've done, change the data out to match your show, and you should be good. Just drop it into your template on WordPress. You don't need PodPress to do any of that. You know, in all honesty, you know, I like what the PodPress folks have done. And as a matter of fact, we're hoping he gets the stat stuff fixed for Blueberry within PodPress. But if you could just take a little patience and go in and you edit the template for your RSS feed, you can put all that stuff in yourself. And you can completely control it. You won't have to be beholden to a plugin. I know the plugin makes it easier. And I guess I'm old school guy. You know, I've used, worked on my templates for a number of years now, and I'm comfortable there. But it's definitely an alternative way that you could use, because your RSS feed and stuff works fine within our, you know, Pickup's enclosure without PodPress, so you don't have to worry about that. But thanks for the, excuse me, the comments on the printers as well. Now, this next audio file I got from Mark, and I haven't actually reviewed this yet. He sent me an MP3 via email, and I want to go ahead and play this. This is pretty long, and Mark, I hope that you're on point, but everyone, here's Mark, and he's going to give us his review on his impressions on the Zune.
My name is Mark, and I'm from South Bend, Indiana. I would just like to give you a little review on my opinion, my first impressions, basically, of the Zune second generation. I just want to let you know that, first off, I have never used an iPod. I'm not an iPod user. I'm not an iTunes user. What I did use for the last 2 years is a Creative Zen. And I've been very happy with the Creative Zen, and I really like a lot of the features of the Creative Zen. But because it was my first MP3 player, I haven't had a lot of experience prior to that. The only experience I've had since then is I bought a little 2-gig SanDisk Sansa that I used as kind of a backup thing if my Creative Zen's battery was out or I had sent it out one point for repair. So I haven't had really any experience with other players, and I was kind of excited about the Zune at first, and then more I heard about the first generation, I didn't want to get one. But then, right before Todd's last podcast, I went ahead and purchased one for $99 from Newegg. And I purchased the brown first generation one. And I got to play with it actually for about 3 days before the upgrade today to the new software. So I got to experience the old software a little bit. I got to explore the interface and everything like that a little bit for a couple days. And, you know, it's different. It was all right, but I noticed there's quite a few things that weren't very appealing to me compared to the Zen. Now, you know, on top of what, like, the Zen only did audio. And so, you know, being able to do video and being able to do pictures was a really nice thing to be able to do. And I bought the dock so I could plug it into the TV and you could actually see those videos and stuff from there, which was really nice. It's a lot bigger and bulkier and actually heavier and stuff, but, you know, it holds a whole lot more. Well, this morning, I upgraded my first generation to the new software when it came out, and the upgrade went fine, everything worked all right, and going through the interface and everything seems to work okay. I think probably the only problem personally that I'm having is because when I did my Creative Zen, what I always did, is, as I'm a very particular person about where my files go and everything like that, the Zen allows you to drag and drop, so when I'd use Zipod to download all my podcasts and things like that, then I would download them all into a directory. They'd all be segregated into different directories. And then I would personally drag and drop them onto the player, and everything would be organized, and I would know where everything's at. The other feature, that I don't know if any other player does this, but my Creative Zen allows me to go in then, and after I listen to a podcast, delete it. That way when I get home at night, it's not even on the player. I don't have to worry, but I know I've listened to it.
Yeah, that's cool.
Now, the Zoom doesn't allow you to do that. Even with the new software, it doesn't allow me to delete anything from the player. And that's what I'm kind of going to have a hard time getting used to because, you know, then I have to go back, plug it in. I have to delete it from the player, you know, that way. And it's a big difference. I do like the podcasting support now in the marketplace. I'm able to go now, click one click, and I can subscribe to them and stuff like that. I'm still going to have to get used to some of the features, though, as far as being able to, you know, as far as back podcasts and stuff like that. And then some of the podcasts I listen to, I actually download when they put them out. They actually put out, because one file would be too big, they would put out like a file A and B. Well, that kind of throws the software off quite a bit. And it thinks that the one, like say B, is newer than A, and so it wants to play B first, and that's because you got to manually do it. The other thing that my Creative Zen does differently than say the Zoom does is that if I hit the power button and turn it off, when I turn it back on, it resumes exactly where I left off. So I could turn it on and turn it off and turn it back on again, and it would be right there where I left off at, just like I'd never stopped. Well, when you do that with the Zoom, it goes back to the menu. It doesn't automatically resume for you, and I really like that feature in the Creative Player. So there's two major things for me. So the Zoom is big and bulky, and I am a person, I work in a production environment in the automotive industry, and we work 12-hour days. So I am able to listen to podcasts and things like that anywhere between 36 and 72 hours a week.
Wow.
And you're thinking, wow, that's a lot of listening time. And I need a lot of podcasts to keep my mind busy. Because in a production environment, you can easily drift off, you know, thinking about other things. And listening to podcasts while I'm working actually keeps my mind moving and going, which is real nice. So the 30 gig Zoom was too big. So I went today, when Best Buy opened up today, and I bought myself the 8 gig, the little flash one. And that is real nice. Now, it's almost identical to the 31st generation as far as I'm concerned with the software and stuff. Now I was able to transfer, you know, with the new wireless from one to the other, and it works really good. So if I have something on one that I want to transfer the other one and I'm not near my computer, I can do that now. That'll go from one to the other. I haven't had any success getting it hooked up to my Wi-Fi. I have a Linksys router, and it's errored out on me on both players so far. I have not been able to get that to work. But, you know, other than the few what I consider major things, being able to delete and being able to resume from playback. Now, it does resume if you remember what you were listening to and you go back and find it again. It will resume from where you left off. It just, you're not going to be able to resume by just turning it back on where you turned it off or something like that and go right back to it again. I guess you'd have to use the pause button for that. I always used off because it, you know, makes the battery last longer because, you know, in a 12-hour day, you want that battery to last the entire day if you can. Well, that's just my little, you know, thoughts of the new Zoom, the first generation and the new second generation 8 gig. And, you know, if you're a Microsoft fan and you like that idea, it's not a bad thing. I mean, they're pretty nice. I've spent, you know, you figure right here, $300 in these two players to try them out. But and overall, I still prefer, even though it doesn't do video and it doesn't do pictures, at least for the audio part of it, I still prefer my Creative Micro.
Yeah, sounds like they've got, Creative's definitely got some features in there that the Zoom folks could follow. Hey, great comment, and it, I guess that's a good primer for everyone out there that's kind of wanting to know what's going on with the Zoom player. I guess we'll have to see how other people react to it. You know, there are some quirks, and there's definitely some room for improvement. And we've got the express lane to the folks over there, so they're going to be listening for sure. And I'll definitely tell Rob about your review, make sure he listens to at least this segment of the show. Thanks for that. Well, here we are. We're at an hour and four, and I've got a bunch of email to go through. I'm going to pop through these real quick. First of all, of course, thanks for the great audio, by the way. And you start a podcast, my friend. Sounds like you'll do fine. But I got an email from John. John said, hey, considering how much portable media devices are out there, how much you're pushing a Zune, I think Microsoft is one of your sponsors. No, John, he's not, and he's just sitting in here. You know I'm kidding. But he does go in to talk about how Microsoft gives a dollar to the Universal Music Group for each Zune sold. And he's not real happy about that because essentially it's kind of like almost like a bribery payoff to those folks. Because they think most of us out here are hacking and stuff, or, you know, stealing music. So that's kind of the assumption with that dollar pay or that dollar per player to them. But anyway, thanks for that feedback, John. Definitely appreciate it. Got an email from Richard. Says, hey, Todd, you know, I thought you might like to know whatever you did with the show notes this week means I can now get them through my Hotmail account. Don't know what's going on with that. I don't know why Hotmail is all of a sudden taking it. But he says, goes on to say, also now that you've stopped drinking Red Bull, it's probably time to share with you what taurine is. I can't see that it would give me wings. But anyway, he links to a particular, I guess, a chemical that must be in Red Bull. So I have that linked up in the show notes. Got an email from Billy, and he corrects me. Hey, Todd, Java and JavaScript are not the same thing. He says the Android platform uses Java for its programming language, though technically the Dalvik virtual machine that they are using requires the java.jar and .class files to get processed in its own DEX format. So that's really, really deep there for me, Billy. But he does go on to say, what I thought was interesting was the $10,000 or the $10 million that Google is going to be giving away to developers in the two contests next year. The first contest is going to happen before there is even any real hardware, and the second one will be after the hardware has been released. He does go into a little bit of the magnetic field stuff on the Earth, you know, how it's shifted from time to time, and which we talked about in the show. But he says the mass of the Earth is not changing, so its gravity will not change. Nova on PBS had an excellent episode on the subject of the shifting magnetic fields. Remember, that story that I linked to was specifically by a guy that had a theory about some changes that he thinks is going to happen. You know, that's some scientist's prediction. Got an email from Frank. He said, the call from the gentleman was unhappy with his Canon printer, stuck a nerve with me, and how rapidly each cartridge struck a nerve. Basically, how it struck a nerve with him and struck a nerve with me. He says, I have three printers. I never throw anything away, an old Epson, an even older Lexmark, and a new HP. And in the course of my employment, I print out from 50 to 200 full-color pages a week. The Lexmark was killing me with at least one or two sets of cartridges a week at about $45 per set. I got the HP, which uses the inkjet nanotechnology cartridges. Not only do the cartridges last much longer, at least a month or more, they cost half as much. The only complaint I have about the HP is that the clearing the paper jam is real difficult. Yeah, I've had that problem on mine too. And he's got a review he links me to from a PC Mag. And he talks about some different things that they have given marks to. He says, in other news, I've had nothing but praise for my Lex Z25. It's been a workhorse. I got it for $37 from AOL Outlets. And at the time when my printing needs were similar to the Collars, it's definitely gave me my value for the money. He says, that Epson does okay, but has a tendency when I'm printing multiple page documents to grab too many sheets of paper and jam. Thanks, Frank, for that. I appreciate it. I'll link your article that you gave us into the show notes. Got an email from Tom. Hey, Todd, superb shows. I've emailed a few times about the Windows Vista, telling you of tales of the most success in using this operating system. I think that people that email you bitching about how crappy Vista is are a bunch of spoiled crybabies. Well, I've been using Vista in my newer box I built since late February, and it works like a champ. I admit that I had a few non-Microsoft programs that didn't work anymore, but I simply upgraded them. It was about time anyway. So he goes on to say, I have an older video card that I had to replace. Oh, well, I didn't approach my installation of Vista like it was going to be a cakewalk. I knew going into it that there would be some difficulties. I went through the same problems with XP when I upgraded in 2001. In fact, I got so frustrated with XP that I shelved it for nearly 3 years, but eventually I fixed problems I had installed in the OS in the year 2000. Oh, in the year 2037, are the same complainers still going to be using XP? Heck, let's all reinstall Windows 98. But anyway, I got some more there from Tom, but thanks for your comments as well, and I definitely appreciate those. Got an email from Joe. He said, downloaded 316 this morning, was going to listen to it on the way to work. I found it easiest to burn podcasts with CDR as an audio CD. They play fine in my car. Since my MP3 is a pain to load and all I have for listening in the car is an FM transmitter, Unfortunately, I couldn't fit 97-minute show on a CD. Oh, I tried to load it into a cool edit and split it, but couldn't figure out how to open the raw sound file. Any chance you can give the settings I need to give CE to open the file, or perhaps there's something I can get it as two files? Use Audacity. You should be able to split it. It's a standard MP3 file, so I believe it. There's just go out there and look for like MP3 splitters, or Audacity should be able to do it for you if you load LAME into it, Joe. Got an email from Arnie. Says, "Hey Todd, I went to Interop in NYC this October. Went to the Microsoft exhibit where they're handing out demo versions of many software packages. I asked both the booth dude there if I had a demo of Windows Home Server. He thought a second gave me Windows Server 2008 beta. I said, this isn't Windows Home Server. And he said, it's pretty much the same thing." So he laughs and says, "Great show. Keep up the good work." Got an email from Hammett. He says, "Hey, I sent you an email a while ago, but I'm not sure my connection was working before. Here's my request. Would you be please so kind to email me the name of the new place? You see, I've already started thinking of an idea for a new script, and I wanted to get to work on it, but I'm afraid that I need some help with the spelling. Thanks for your time." Hammett, it's spelled Makakilo, Makikilo. Makakilo. So, an email from Jim. He says, I wish someone would try this. I don't want to ruin my USB cable. He links me to an article. I'll have you guys check it out. It'll be pretty funny. Hey, I want you guys to check out Norbert Davis's new show. And he's doing a daily show. It's over at Totally Cool Tech at totallycooltech.com. I'll have a link to Norbert's show up there. He's part of the Tech Podcast Network, a long, long member of the community. Got an email from Carl. Wow. I'm actually running out of time here. Lots of emails. I'm going to save some of these folks. I've got to for the next show because there's just more than I have, more than I can read here. Carl, Doug, Tom, Tim. Let's see, who else? There's just there's more here, but let's punch out for now. And I do appreciate everyone's calling in and sending comments on the show. I did want to take just a few seconds and say, hey, thanks for being part of the Ohana, and thanks for a fun time while we've grown the show here at historic Fort Island. And now we're going up the hill, and we're going to be at a much, you know, higher vantage point from the proverbial studios here in no longer in Honolulu. It'll be in Makakilo. And so I guess we'll... you know, all I can say is thanks for being part of the family. It's been a fun ride. It really, really has. We are excited about moving into the new place. Next week, you're going to be in the capable hands of a couple of the listeners of the show. So I hope you enjoy their podcast. It'll be a nice downtime for me as we're moving in. I know that many of you are going to be on the road for Thanksgiving. Be safe out there, okay? And enjoy your families. Keep everybody close. You know, don't take unnecessary risk while you're traveling, and, you know, watch the weather and everything else. And I want you all back with me, when we come back, when I come back up on the show, you know, the Tuesday after Thanksgiving. But I'm looking forward to producing a show from up there and, having you all as part of the family up in our new location. It's going to be a lot of fun and some new perspectives, of course. We'll have lots of stories to talk about on the next show, but treat our guest host well. They will have fun, and I'm sure that you'll have lots of great comments for them, and we'll be definitely feeding them some email. I'll have probably some special email addresses set up for them so that they can, or they'll probably just tell you what email to send the comments to if you have some. But overall, I'm talking here too long. I promise I was going to get you out of here earlier. It's just impossible, isn't it? Look at the time. We're not going to worry about it. But thanks, folks. Have a great, great holiday. We'll see you on the other side. Again, signing off from historic Fort Island in Honolulu, Hawaii. Aloha.